The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Sausage, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Hostess, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out. It is one, two, four. It is one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball. The base is loaded, the crowd's on their feet. The base is loaded, the crowd's on their feet. The base is loaded, the crowd's on their feet.
Frank, here's another idea.
Oh, where'd you come from?
I've been walking next to you the entire time.
Frank! Frank! Where are you?
Finally, he went back, and I walked by the table, and I said, "How are you, Don? Nice to see you." He said, "Can't you see I'm eating, Frank? What are you doing?"
Frank, what the hell are you doing?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Frank, remember?
The results say that you, Frank, are absolutely not my father. But my father is a close relative, most likely one of your brothers.
Dad has brothers?
And you know, I think I met the one that sells smoked sausage and razor blades out of the trunk of his car.
Frank!
My name is Frank.
Frank!
Never truly liked my name, believe it or not. Just didn't never felt like my own, but they love it. Smell of the grease paint and the roar and chatter of the crowd. That's what you get here, whether you like it or not. So, this is Cthulhu Chronicles. I'm the man whose name joins the title of the show. Don't go anywhere. Stay where you are. We'll find out about all this. I'm acting like I'm doing something while I'm waiting for the theme. Not doing a thing. Did I say that it's me, Frank Cthulhu, the man whose name adorns the title of the show? I don't know how long we'll be here. But if you stay, the longer you stay, the more you'll learn, the more you'll pray, the more you'll eat. What can I say? Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to have I ever hit a block? From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to this is a record broken. Never in 20 years have I forgotten the entire thing. Did you say it? From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to Sydney, I'm still lost. And then to every bordello, that's the first. I hope you are recording this, because that's it. From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to Sydney, from Othello and into every bordello. That's it. Wow. Where was I? I've just been floating around my own mind. And sometimes, I got to tell you this, sometimes I feel like it's perennial lockdown. Perennial lockdown for you. I'm not kidding. I don't often tell you how I feel or why I feel. I don't know sometimes why I feel what I feel, but I don't often do that. But it's true. I'm in a perennial lockdown. I talk to people who have tested positive for COVID once or twice, even though they've been vaccinated. You know, we're on the other side of all that. And yet, I don't know. I told my agent the other day, who got twice and had symptoms that were annoying. They were, you know, they weren't death-defying, but they were annoying. And he's telling me all this and that and the other thing. And I said, you know, since this all began, yes, I had my vaccinations, and I had one booster. I didn't get a second booster because I didn't think I needed it. Wore masks and did everything, and it's been a long time since the booster. But because of the nature of my life, where it doesn't take me, who I don't see, and who I don't come in contact with at any given point, it seems to me like I'm in lockdown. This is no different than when it was the pandemic, when we were in lockdown, in the very heart of it, in the nucleus of it, in the heat of it, the fiery heat of it. I was here, right here. And okay, the fan wasn't on, or was it? That was kind of lost too. Was it 2 years, people say? No, we were in lockdown. I have no idea how long it took, because I'm still here and it still seems like lockdown to me. That's the name of my book, which I could write overnight if I want to, or wait until tomorrow. What the hell else do I have to do? It still seems like lockdown to me. But it made me think about a whole bunch of things, because that's what that does. But there are some things on my mind. There are some things I promised to talk about. I'm going to talk about before I finish, you finish, we finish here at Cotolo Chronicles, the only show that brings you wonderful. Did you say wonderful? I said brings you wonderful, as if wonderful is a thing packaged or placed in your pocket or whatever. It's wonderful. Yeah, because you try it. Yeah? Go to those other podcasts. See if you get the feeling. You don't get the feeling, nah. And especially, you could be here, or you could be listening to this guy. That's right, Sean Hannity. Come on. I got a life. I don't want to breathe it while watching you or any of you. There's an echo in here. Any of you. Or some of you may be, and I was going to do this too, but I couldn't get the TV connection down here. And I don't know if it's on the internet. It doesn't matter anymore. Everything's everywhere, right? And that's what we're eventually going to address, I hope, the content bubble. Bulging, expanding, till boom. Then what? Do you know? I don't think you know. Whether you are from any generation, if you're a baby boomer or before, I don't know if the before baby boomers listen here. But I know some baby boomers still listen, and then after that, X's generations and all that, everyone. But, you know, doesn't matter. I was saying you could be listening to that guy. Man. That's why I get the fan on. I say his name and there's a stench. You know, No, use it right that time. That's why I went two dots. I was using really correctly. So the really button went off. See, it didn't go on that. The really buzzer went off and I said it correctly. It would be terrific if he would come on the show. Wouldn't that be great? Me and him. He might not stay on for, you know, 5 minutes. He would hang up, but that would be good. Okay, well, how would it? That way, you know, and what am I saying? That's a self-serving thing to say, right? So I could make, try to make a fool out of him and look like a fool myself because he's, what if I just did that and talked to him? Oh, but you could be somewhere else if you're listening to the live stream, as opposed to later on at juicetalk.com, where the archives are now picking up, again, the recordings that we make on Thursdays live. Or you could be, as I said, I was going to hook up the Little League World Series. You know, something about, I don't want to go into the whole thing, but you know, I just want to tell you that I started following some baseball, which is weird for me because I gave it up a while ago. But I'll tell you a couple of reasons why, as pop culture, and probably because of lockdown too, which this is lockdown. Isn't that a show? This is lockdown, like Dateline, right? Lockdown. But hey, that's an odd one. Lockdown. Can't. And yet, there's one that. We didn't use on our up, the power of the up, right? Lock up, right? We didn't. After that show, I was walking around thinking of other ones. Lock up, right? Okay, the Little League World Series takes place barely 2 hours from where I'm sitting in Williamsport, which I seriously knew someone. How many people out there know anyone from Williamsport? I knew someone very closely. I was close to someone. Okay, that doesn't matter. What matters is this. So Little League World Series is fun. It's fun to watch these kids. It is fun also to watch this guy, Aaron Judge, who I think was born into a role. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't have any reason to or understanding of believing that there's a... My soul will carry into some other living thing and move around. Let's not get spiritually psychological or psychologically spiritual. Let's just say I don't. But this guy, someone was born like for baseball and swinging a bat and hitting the ball. That's it. I mean, it's amazing. And I don't think he's going to stop being amazing. And the difference between this guy's doing this okay without steroids or anything else that's pushing. Okay, so how do you know that, Frank? I'm telling you, it's clean. I know the difference between a Jose Canseco, you know, that big, he was like the Hulk, you know, and because he wasn't once the Hulk and he became the Hulk. This Aaron Judge. Even the name, see, that's the point. It goes right down to the being of this person, the being, his soul, whatever his soul may be. It is the composition of his physical appearance, his mental ability, his physical ability, and talent, nothing else but talent, to be able to find that ball coming in at 90 miles an hour and smacking it so hard that it goes out of the Bronx. It leaves the Bronx. And if he's not in the Bronx, he's in another place because the Yankees are on the road. He hits it, and the ball goes to the Bronx, okay? Amazing, terrific, great to watch because home runs were always my favorite about baseball anyway. So... It brings me back, of course, to the Mickey Mantle days. He was, again, born with a name that could not have been the kid. I mean, of course, he had the talent. He showed the talent, and he performed with excellence, regardless of the adversity that attempted to suppress his talent and suppress his being a baseball player. But yeah, he did it anyway. But when this kid is born and the father doesn't call him Michael Mantle, that was a whole different thing, okay? An entirely different thing. If this kid is born and his father says, let's call him Mr. Mantle, says, let's call him Michael, Michael Mantle. And that awkwardness, that sound that didn't touch the waves of humanity, he could have been your druggist, or would be your pharmacist, he could have been your milkman. You don't have milkman anymore, okay? He could have been your tech support guy, anything, but he would not have been 100% baseball. Even regardless of what he did privately later on, we learned about him, and that was the adversity. Not just adversity that was natural in terms of playing the game, but adversity that he gave to himself: drinking and carousing and not sleeping, and right. And so anyway, but because they named him Mickey, they call him Mickey. I don't know anybody these days. And I haven't heard of anybody in the last 2 decades. And I know people who have had children. And no one, not one of them, not one named a son Mickey. Now, there was a girl who they called Mickey. Offer name, Eric, Mickey. I don't know how that comes about, but it does. But that doesn't matter. No one. There's no other Mickeys. And because they named him Mickey, which I don't know the story behind that, maybe I should read the biography. I don't know. I don't know who to trust. Doesn't matter. Same thing with Aaron Judge. Now, Aaron Judge could... What else could Aaron Judge have been with a name like that and the ability? You know, if he'd have been an actor... And had this ability, it would have been a complete waste to pop culture. It would have been a sin of great proportions. Baseball is pop culture. I don't care what you say about. No one's heard me talk about baseball like this, or maybe I did years ago. But nobody can tell me that baseball isn't a stage and where people perform. And one of the great things, as technology has improved, as technology has taken us more in control of what we do and how we manipulate sounds and time and whatever else, and images certainly, right? As science has done that, baseball continues like there are other sports in this category when I talk about, is just about the only live television entertainment show. And you don't know what's going to happen. The performers don't know what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. But they know how to play this game that stays within the periphery of its rules. That's what's great, I think, about sports on TV, is that they're live. You don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea what's going to happen. You know certain things happen in certain ways because you know that Aaron Judge hits home runs. And so you, every time he swings, you wonder, where is it, boy? Okay, so let me bring this into the next next part of what I'm talking about, which is not just baseball. So anyway, baseball there. Aaron Judge is fine. And kids who are playing at this very moment, unless the game's over, it must be over by now, the Little League World Series, I don't know who broadcasts it, as I said, so I don't know, you look at it, and I don't know how it works. I guess teams play each other from all over the world, and they get eliminated, and they go on. It's just some you know, contrived method of eliminating teams from places. And then finally, there's a final. And I think it's one game, though. Is the world, Little League World, I don't even know. But I do know that those kids, all of them, today, in this day and age right now, for the Little League World Series of 2022, MMXXII, I think that's it. I think, try to remember. MMXXII, for this, they all know of Aaron Judge. And he is influencing these kids without them knowing it. You know, it's got into their consciousness. But we don't know if any of those kids was born to do this and move on. It's not to say, I don't know about Aaron Judge either. I don't know how he grew up. I don't know when he played baseball. I don't know if my, you know, I know some Mickey Mantle stories. I don't know. And of course, the horror of being pushed by your father with Jimmy Pearsall. I know those things. But I'm following the Yankees and hoping that the Yankees get to the World Series. Meanwhile, the kids in the Little League World Series are going, taking on immense odds to be able to be on the team that gets to the championship game. And it'll be that. And that'll happen. And so I'm what? And I forgot. I didn't know. I found out about the little, all this baseball stuff came together, you see. So it led to what I'm going to talk about. Because I got the idea of thinking about the content bubble. Not that I haven't talked about it before. I have talked about the content bubble before while talking about the sex worker industry. Is that, if that's what it's called. And how the digital platforms and people working out of their homes in sexual manners, and people paying to see them, and all the, you know, the cast is immense. We've talked about that, and we talked about the bubble when the Artist D, a veteran as I am of the interweb from way back, and we talked about it, and no one has come up. What the heck did that? How does something completely incorrect? What comed up, Frank? I don't know. All of a sudden, I'm a nitwit. All of a sudden, Frank? Yes. It came up while I watched a older series. I don't know how old, to be honest with you. I don't know how old, but a series on Hulu called Brockmeyer. Fascinating character, and just, you know, a very good piece. I think Hank Azaria, if he's remembered for that, that'll be fine. Great character. But again, this series of, I think it was produced by IFC and wound up on Hulu, and that's 20th Century Fox. I don't know. And that, you know, that, you know, 20th Century is. Don't scold me, you son of a F bomb. Son of an F bomb. I like that one. They should do that from now on. Huh? Yo, son of an F bomb. What'd it do? Brockmeyer. Having to do with a man who loves baseball and is a, let's say, a renegade baseball announcer, and a man who just lives for baseball. A show that could have ended after Series 3, but went on. Because it could, and that's what these series do, but eventually fizzle. Did they fizzle up? They fizzle up? No, they wind up. I still got the list here. And I should write that other one in. Oh, well, don't, Frank. So I talked with a friend of mine saying that, you know, season four was, you know, that it died at season four. And yet I appreciated the fact that it went to, I didn't appreciate the fact that it went to four, because it had established all of the character arcs and everything it needed to do. So it shook up a couple more and continued and went to season four, seven or eight episodes Which, you know, could have been 1 hour and a half thing, but, you know, okay, you don't have to know. And in the fourth season, this guy, this character, Brockmire, and the game of baseball, here it comes, the game of baseball is dying in 2033. By 2033, he's older, he's got a daughter now, because he had a daughter from a woman when he was in the war, or he wasn't in the war, he was out somewhere in Asia. Okay? And his a friend of his who started a company was younger, another generation, so there was that unity of opposites. They were friends, and yet had old ways meeting new ways and all sorts of things, and the kid didn't like baseball, and of course, Brockmire lives for baseball. But what happens in season four is a kind of a domino fall. A domino, I don't know, is that the way to even explain that, using dominoes? Does anybody know what a domino is anymore? Does anyone in the generations beyond there? Let's see a show of hands. Huh? No? Okay. So it had to do with one of the reasons baseball is dying in 2033, according to the alternative reality of this show, Brockmire, is because it's real and it's live. It's real and it's live, just as I said, which is what I'm considering, and a lot of people should consider, a wonderful thing. Still have something live on a television or anywhere, and knowing that you are more involved as an audience, being there as things happen, as opposed to something recorded. All right. So because of how the digital world, the digital process, of course, changed everything we do and how we do it. And certainly when it came to pop culture, buried the live program, it buried a lot of things. Okay. And another reason baseball is dying is because everyone's doing something else. They're doing things live, but they're playing games. Gaming, of course, is gigantic. Gaming is merging with sex workers. Has anyone noticed this? Oh, I study my digital history. Gaming, there's all these podcasts, you know, that I don't know why people are being so inactive. You remember that all of this stuff, even watching baseball, is passive activity. Can you say passive activity? It's not activity, because activity is active. It's passive. And what you get from it, you get without participating. You know, it's passive. If you were out playing baseball, if you go out and play your own games out there, you play tennis, you do stuff that doctors are telling you to do, exercise, make sure the blood is flowing, go out there and participate, do things live. So there's the correlation. Do things live. Watch things live is passive, and it's okay to an extent. But because everyone is doing everything on their phones or on their computers in this fictional show, what's happening is baseball is dying. Nobody wants to watch baseball. Nobody wants to sit. It's long. It's boring. And that's it. Now, a lot of people think it's long and boring and have thought that since the beginning of time. Or when that guy, whatever his name is, did or didn't, when Abner Doubleday did or didn't invent it. Now I'm hearing that that's a farce, but it doesn't matter. My point being that in this show, and I thought to myself, you know, that's a lot of what we were talking about. The when we talked about sex workers and all the platforms, OnlyFans, Fansy, FlintFin, and Insta fans, and OnlyFans, Only Insta, and everything in every way where you could do it. Oh, well, that's not true. Mostly the sexual stuff that is now prevalent and is its own industry and is taking people out of the workforce, because there are ways of making that much money, making a living. There's ways of making a living. And many girls and guys would rather be doing that because they don't have to leave their house. Maybe they were living in their parents' house anyway. I don't know. But they're making good money because the platforms were designed to attract people to create content. The platform, and this is where the social media stuff began. Sorry, he just came out of me there because he was trying to tell me it's wrong. That guy. So it came from the fact that, like MySpace, where and turned to Facebook, and the ones that I talked about when I talked about social media a couple of weeks ago, and forever, hello, because I've been here since the beginning of it. Idea was, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to create anything. We're going to get this platform, and you put the content. People, they're saying, like, this is going to be interactive. So you could be in touch with people. You could have a page. You could do what you want on the page. And it wasn't like, it was different than what had come earlier before that, when people could put their own page up. You could have your own page. Tommy Jones, the Tommy Jones website, okay? And you could do tons of things on there. And we know, because we covered those things before there was social media, we covered the website, what people were doing to get on the website. And we said something that was true then and is true now. And we said it a number of times when talking about this subject. And that is, the best thing about the internet is the fact that it could be interactive, and you could have your say, and you can have your persona. You can be a part of it and do stuff. Now, the bad thing about the internet is that you can be a part of it. You can have your own, the floodgates opened, and every common person who could do or could not do anything came on. And the MySpace, Tom and whoever the heck other those people were that did it before News Corp bought it, those people said, the content will be created by the people who join up. And join up. Did I say join? There's another one. Join up. Oh, boy. The power of up. Oh, the power of up. And so, self-content created, there's an expression for it. I don't remember it right now. So, So some people are thinking the way I am. The people who created the guy who created the show, Brockmire. I don't know, Joel Church or something. I don't know his name. And so he decided in the fourth season to say, what do we do to get baseball back? Of course, has to do with the main character and the people he's involved with and the person he's been in love with and his daughter. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, we got all that drama, character, premise stuff. We got it. So they're trying to find ways to make baseball exist at all. Yeah, because baseball would be on its way out. There's just not enough people to support it. Why? Because they're all doing their own thing. They're gaming. They're joining games. Right? They're doing sex on sex workers. They're doing bots and whatever else that they do. And they're graphic designing and making games and doing whatever the heck, all the stuff that people do. If all of them do it, there's no one left. So you stepped on something that I hope that wasn't the beak of a spider. And by the way, a spider doesn't have a beak. What was that? These strange things that just pop up out of the floor. Okay, so where was I? That's exactly where I was then. So they want to make baseball exist. Now, this is a problem that can arise. It can. Not in 2030, they're off there just doing a fictional, speculative future. You can't The bad thing about predicting the future, of course, is that you base it on the past, and you can't do that. You can do that, of course you can. It's not legal or anything. I mean, you do that, and you are not, you don't have a vision. You can't look beyond and find something that really happens. I say, really happens, it works, the buzzer didn't go off. Something that actually, in that case, really happens. And the absolute truth of this that I'm telling you right now about that is the ever-popular TV show Star Trek. And then this is not my discovery. This is a discovery of someone a while back said, and then said it on the show. And that is Star Trek became, you know, wildly popular and became a pop culture phenomena in TV after, in fact, after it was canceled on TV. And I had a following and blah, blah, blah. And I had the movies and then people dressed up like them and went out at conventions and then the movies. And then when those people were dying off, they found another, they started the series up again with different people, layers of stuff there. And yet, as far into the future as all of those Star Treks went, Star Trek Beyond, Star Trek Generations, Star Trek to the end, Eternal Star Trek, whatever they had there, as much as that happened, there was never a sign of the internet. So everything they predicted that wasn't based on the past, like the thing that had been, you know, when they phased out, no, not phased out, whatever they did when they transported themselves and the atoms all went, you know, and then they put themselves together, hopefully the same way. But that's okay. You got to believe it. That's it, fine. But there was no internet ever on any of those planets either. They'd go to planets in episodes where it was around the time on Earth when there was an internet. And they went there, but there was no internet. There was never the internet. So what I'm saying is that Roddenberry, Gene Roddenberry, the creator, and whoever continued to do that after he died, never predicted the internet. Therefore, what I'm saying is you can't predict the future based on the past. It's got to be another vision. It's got to be something three-dimensional. Maybe four. It's got to be something four-dimensional. Are there four dimensions? We'll find that other one. It's where all this stuff looms. All the things that we don't know about. And, you know, if you go back to other examples, I mean, the internet is that example. But even if you look at, not Edgar Allan Poe, he's the jungle, the other guy, Arthur Conan Doyle, and that's Sherlock Holmes and the other guy. Jules Verne, who wrote science fiction. And they go like, well, you know, Jules Verne, you know, he invented kind of the submarine when he said there's this giant ship that goes undersea and goes around. And he called it the Nautilus, which people laughed at and called it the Nautilus. Okay, but anyway, they say, and he predicted that would happen, and by golly, it happened. Okay, it did happen, but it didn't happen because Jules Verne did that. So there were certain things, and yet, so many things that didn't happen based on Jules Verne. He didn't get a lot of things right. His trip to the moon, from the Earth to the moon. That was Jules Verne, wasn't it? Yes. From the Earth to the moon. In what? A round thing and some substance that makes it bounce and shoot off, and then they get to the moon, and the moon has what? Oxygen, and there's people living under the moon? Okay, that's fine. That's science fiction. Okay, but his trip to the moon was nowhere near as close as the Nautilus. And Captain Bligh was not him. That was the other captain. Captain Kirk. No, that's the other captain. Captain Nemo. Thank you very much, mind. Slamming through the saloon doors to my consciousness. And that. So you can't do that. So how do we sit here and predict the burst of the content bubble? The content bubble is enlarging. It is swelling. It is It's gonna get to a point where it too, Brutus, it also will burst. What else would burst? I don't know. A pimple gets too big, it bursts, right? Well, the thing is, it bursts. Because they can't hold what they contain. Contain, by the way, contain content. Contain content. Let me... Uh-oh, can I do this? No, we don't... Yeah, we have to do this. And I can't do it right now. I gotta be careful or stuff's gonna fall. Gonna get the old dictionary. And I mean old. And while I'm looking up this definition, I will tell you, you're listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. My name is Frank Cthulhu, man whose name adorns the title of the show. I'm chronicling. This is radio that delivers wonderful to you. I shouldn't do that anymore because I don't even want to give him the satisfaction. I don't know. Maybe he's a nice guy. We go out. We that right? We can go to a ball game together, maybe. No, I can't do that. But I do know. Now something fell out of this. What is that? I guess I was keeping the place with a napkin. It's a stupid bookmark, a napkin. I'm going to see, I write to it. Contentions, contentious, no. Can I have some light over here? Thank you. We have a lamp, but we place it precariously. Contact. No, we have contents. Would be E, contents. Contents, convulse, contents, QST, contest. My cons here. Content. Where are you? T-E-N-T. Contentious. Oh, be before contentious, kids. Content. Contend. No, content. We're talking about content because the content bubble. Content is anything that is there in this digital world, on these any of these platforms, that keeps a person busy as opposed to doing something else. Gaming, like I said, studying, you know, I'll be the last person to tell you that there are things that are wonderful on the internet and how you use it and what have you. But even the kids, and I've had shows about that too. I've defended it to people my own age, and I've also told the kids to use it in many good ways, not just entertainment, not just for pop culture, for education. We don't know, those of us who grew up without it, we didn't, you know, we might have had better submarines, but you didn't have a library at our fingertips. Content. Let's look at the tried and true definition of contents. Boom, boom, boom. It says here, and now I lost it? How can I lose it? Oh boy, gonna get these on here. Content. Here we go. Content. Content. I love them. They spell it in phonetically. Okay. All right. Content. That which is contained. That which is contained. Didn't I just say everything inside? It's everything inside of that bubble, that periphery, the contents of a city. Right? Are the things inside of the city. You got it? You put stuff in a box, it's the contents. The stories and pages, and whether they're separated with content, with chapters or everything in a book, is contents. And the book gives you a table of contents. It tells you, where are the contents based on? Okay, you got that. You know all that. You should. You better. Two. Size or capacity for holding. Size, and this is where this comes in, right? The bubble. As the content of the basket is a quart, the size. If it's more than a quart, the contents will spill over. And right, and it won't be contained. Simple English. Three, the content here. Meaning, subject matter. As the content of a text. Contentment? That shouldn't be here. Huh? Okay. Content. Oh, content. Now, this is how you say content, spelled the same way. Content. That's satisfaction. Okay. So, the content, if there wasn't a content bubble, if it wasn't all contained, then it would just be floating around and we couldn't say that it would burst. would find another way to disperse, to ruin, to disappear. But we don't. We're going to use the bubble analogy. Is that an analogy, or I guess that's an analogy? Context. Inside of, okay. So what happens? I think that the Brockmire fiction was, and still is, because if you can see it, you can see it, is a reasonable assumption that the content bubble, before it bursts completely, things that will not fit in it any longer will dissipate. This is really sounding scientific. That isn't really sounding, it's right. And I don't know. Really? No. No. Sorry. That was wrong. Is it really sounding? So why do I... See? I'm not sounding that way. Because the bubble. So the baseball thing, the Brockmire thing, you get it? It's going to... okay. If baseball were to fall apart, as anything will fall apart, look what the digital world did. This is what we labeled from the beginning the Hallelujah Trail. Good things will happen as the digital consciousness grows and moves on, as the road says, it moves on. There's blood on the tracks. There's blood on the road. You know, there's the things that die behind it, and you can think about them now, because the plenty of things died. Transistor radios died. Records, in terms of you know, having a record player, and music was recorded and on records, wax, and whenever, that whole thing is dead. It's now just a So it came back, but it didn't come back. Nothing's going to replace. You know, it's an antique. Can an antique have one? And, you know, you can't live on that. And all that, how that affected everyone who did live on that. In terms of the music industry, look what it did to royalties, to getting paid, to the whole idea of recording. The concept of the content, Just so I wanted to see if I could say it twice without screwing up. So the Hallelujah Trail has left behind it. Many things are dead. Many things, and things that have moving parts. Those are not going to be able to hold on to, they're not going to be able to exist inside the bubble. Now, if the bubble bursts, then, you know, it's all hands on deck, right? Because no one knows what's going to happen if the bubble bursts. It's like an atom bomb that would be big enough to destroy things, just because. And it's not even a bomb. It's right. It's atoms growing together. We are atoms. They don't clash inside of us, and then we explode. Although we can implode, and that's a whole nother thing. The content bubble may very well burst. Now, what does that? I don't know what that means. It just every day. And I know what I'm saying is everyone should be more conscious of this, all right? Because it will affect everything in your life. It'll affect your politics. It'll affect your the way you eat, your health. I tell you, your politics, your health, the way you love, the people you hang out. If you hang out with people, how you wind up in your livelihood, how you make money, how you save money, where you save money, the who, what, where, when, and why of your lifestyle changes. And if the bubble bursts, it might be the kind of chaos that we think about. We don't think about it this way. I'm thinking about it the way I think about the concept of a black hole. And that's what people are looking at in the NASA And yet those people are still saying liquid water. The scientists are still haven't conquered English. Sweet, simple English. They haven't conquered it. They're still talking about liquid water and all the other stuff. If the bubble bursts, we don't know, and we can't predict what will happen. And what is the bursting of the bubble? It's how do things, the change is just beyond your comprehension. But I want you to think about that every day. Because if you, let's say, there's billions of people on Twitter. Twitter changed from the moment that, may he rest in soul, Kurt Brando came onto this show and said, there's this thing called Twitter, and here's what it does. And he was looking at this platform and could not predict what was going to happen beyond what it claimed was its function. He couldn't do it. No one could. And yet, it went wild. The more people expanded its ability to communicate, the more it changed. And when it changed, it became something more commercial, right? Because it was another place that was replacing the kind of commercials you saw on television. And television, network television, has entirely changed. And now the world, the planet, that's not planet, the whole contraption of streaming stuff that has come into the cable world. And what does it do? It's killing theaters. It's killing the whole an industry. How an industry works, how it's filmed, blah, blah, blah. Dun, 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 dun. See, if I did a TED Talk on this, I would do things like that. Let's give this a little TED Talk atmosphere. How about this? I'll show you what I'm going to do. Ta-da-ding. Where is it? Maybe I'll have time for that. Or not? Okay. Can I just do this? Yeah. Here we go. Okay, here's a bunch of people. Now, if I was doing a TED Talk, they wouldn't be talking, would they? Can you be quiet, please? I'm talking. I'm giving a TED Talk now. So, I know. They're gonna just keep talking back up. Don't let them distract you. So, it's like you and I are talking at a convention. How about a convention? A content bubble bursting convention. What are we going to do? They're all talking about it. What are we going to do? So, I want you to be aware of the number of things that are coming at you in various areas of pop culture coming on Twitter. And how... Look at how Instagram is changing because of TikTok. So TikTok's coming up. They're going to put, They're going to put the Instagram now pictures and the videos are going to be taking over all the places for pictures. Facebook, I don't care about it. If it goes completely. But I don't know how it's going to keep up with this. But it's already started to change by doing, it's gone commercial. Which makes all those people millionaires and the people with the content nothing. So the people with the content try to sell things. They have stores on Facebook. You talk to people on Facebook. You talk to people on your phone. Now there's a number of places where you can do that. Do we want to get rid of these? All right. Come on, everybody out now. Come on, you're distracting. It's bad enough we have to have the fan. Hear the fan? Because it's hot. Still hot. It's summer. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name, but doing the title of the show. Summertime. It could be anybody in the summertime. So, the content bubble can burst, and you can watch it breathe. And as it expands, of course, that if it bursts like any bubble, it gets too big for its own contents, whether the contents be air, gas, whole wheat, water, any kind of liquid, confetti. you get the idea? Now, when we were talking about, I think we're very close to the sex worker thing, thinning, just the way the streaming stuff is doing now. They're combining there. Netflix is having trouble. It was making billions of dollars. Suddenly started becoming, it came a movie making production company, right? And then MGM, all those, they started buying things. And then they became streamers. And every channel, the American movie channels, and went plus, we'll go plus. And Paramount came in and goes, wait a second, we used to make movies anyway. So now we're going to do Paramount Plus. We're going to make movies for the stream. The stream goes on, now that hurts. And then they start merging. This is one of the signs, they're merging. And today, Discovery Plus, I don't know what the hell Discovery Plus was, merged with with who? I don't know, MGM, who merged, who owns this and owns that. Listen, we did it, Joe. We did jokes about this long before they started merging. You said, you know, if Discovery merged with the Weather Channel, you'd have the Discovering Weather Channel, right? if Arts and Leisure is not even there anymore, Arts and Leisure and merge with the Learning Channel, you'd be learn about arts and learn arts and learn leisure. I can't even say it, leisure. Learn arts, learn leisure channel. Okay, we were doing that whole thing, and it was fun. But it's really happening. And these big companies that are consolidating, they're growing bigger. The other day, my agent told me about Simon & Schuster and another company buying Penguin. Books, and Penguin already has imprints or other below it. It has these other publishers, and they're all a part of this tree, one tree, but it's one tree, but there's 100 companies, and it's all taken care of and ruled by one thing. Now, that's going to make these various areas of digital pop culture, it's going to make them heavier, and that's going to, heavier and bigger, and that's going to affect the burst. And there's so many people doing things, as in the sex network, sex workers, that whole community is the best example, because we've already seen the music industry go kapoof with independent people. And we've talked about that, and we've explained that, and we've been there and done it. I've been there, done that with those things. So we know that it happens, but the sex industry is going to run out of audience. I mean, it's economic too. How many? I don't care. And you know how I know it's already in trouble? Because it used to be, it's like, what is it, $10, $15 a month or whatever it was when there were just an A number. It wasn't growing so quickly and rapidly that there were people on OnlyFans, I think, was the only one at the time. Aside from the fact that other platforms are being created, there's also the fact that new people are going on, and they're forced to charge a very little for what they have. And the ones who have been there, who are being affected by people who are buying the cheaper ones, is that they're offering, they offer weeks and days of, 50% off, 90% off, 10% off, because they want to continue the people they have, their audience they have, and they want to get the other audience. But new people coming into the audience, because there's so many performers, are paying less, and they're going to find what they want in the lesser department of payment, the department of payment. Now, what the hell is that? On this, they're going to go where they can afford. So it doesn't matter how many genres of sex are developed. There's a finite number of people in that audience, and everybody's affecting everyone else. How does that survive? You look at the past, and you can judge a future from the past in terms of things like that, because we have finites to deal with. As far as predicting the future, that's a whole other thing. You're going to have to use your imagination. If you use your imagination, you might come up with something that is an entire sex workers universe. But then again, you know what? That is exactly what's happening with the streaming universe. It's consolidating. I'm telling you, the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. Because every time there's a tick-tock, getting bigger than an Instagram. There could be an InstaTalk in the future, the near future. And Facebook is getting, it's already done, it's killed a number of social platforms, social media platforms. Facebook can be, what awesome. Yeah, I don't know if there are any others, really. Well, Facebook bought Instagram. So there you go. It's not Faceagram or Instaface. Maybe that's what they should call it, Instaface. And the videos, because there's all videos. There's going to be all videos. Okay? And it's getting crowded. The traffic is mounting up. There's might not be, it's, you know, when you talk about a highway. You build a highway. You don't build a highway. How could you? You don't know how. It's only you. Don't put that pressure on me. You build a highway so X amount of cars can move along fluidly, right? And yet, even then, you get traffic with all the millions of, are there millions? The millions of miles of highway, there's still traffic. Why? Because there's more and more cars. Vehicles, not just cars, vehicles. Then what do you have to do? You have to spin off. We'll have a highway here. This is just for trucks. Three lanes here, two lanes here. Now there's trucks. You can't have trucks with the cars with the trucks. It goes on and on. What are you going to do? Keep building those roads. The roads for this and that, and then people keep buying cars and trucks and who knows whatever else we're going to be moving rapidly on, what other kind of vehicles they're going to need, even if it goes to the sky, even if the vehicles, right, start to be able to fly, then you're going to deal with the airspace. There's only so much. You see? You hear? You should be aware of this. It's going to affect you in ways you don't see right now. And it's also going to take things away from you that you're going to like. If tomorrow, the sex worker platforms, if OnlyFans tomorrow, and fans, well, I don't know all of them, there's a bunch of them. But if just OnlyFans crumbled for some reason, any reason whatsoever, and just assume if it crumbles, then where do you go? Where do they go? Where are all these people? Where's that audience go? You lose the people, you lose the it's like people who it's like photographers who had to adjust and adapt to the new technology, lost a lot of photographers, and all the people who made film, that photographers don't need you anymore. Forget about the film. No more film. It's like tape and tape recorders. No more. You don't have to make tape. Don't have to. Now it's somewhere else. Everybody in the area that's being shrinking, that's collapsing, and what are they going to do? You adapt or die. This is just progress, evolution. It's everything. This is and you know what? This force is so powerful. I'm not going to get into politics, but this force is so powerful. And you know, and it technology, not just because it's digital. You know, look what trains did. Look what cars did to horses and wagons. Right? I mean, every time progress moves along, something on, and that's the Hallelujah Trail. It's moving faster now because the digital is just the speed has changed. But every time it leaves behind it, the destroyed, the wrecked, the crumbled, those. So I'm not just talking about the fact that a certain amount of pleasure from pop culture will be taken from it, but we're talking about everything. Your livelihood, your health, everything. A little bit for the better means you lose a lot of the stuff that was all right. But this is why, politically, this is why you can't go back. There's no turning back. You cannot go back. No matter how many laws you pass, no matter how many rules you make, There's no going back. If the it's true, because things keep more things keep happening that make stuff happen that couldn't happen before, and it becomes personal. It becomes look what you could do now that you would have in your own home, in terms of digital stuff, that you would need a house three times as big if you kept using machines that did that. And right, and all the people who fix machines, who today makes a living fixing washing machines, even plumbing. And believe me, I know this because I grew up with a plumber. My father was a plumber, and the Denver. I'm rapping now. I'm rapping to the plumb. Father's was the plumber, and he wasn't no hack. But my father invented plumber's crack. Okay, so what I'm saying is, these things are going. And there's not enough people to keep it going. So, you know, you'll always need plumbing? Yes. But plumbing itself has changed. So there's not the kind of plumbers. And there's the equipment's different. Everything's adapting to another form. I saw that happening when my father started losing work. Even back then, things were happening that were changing the plumbing industry. So, who are the plumbers? Who are the carpenters? Look, right? Not everybody can be a graphic designer. So, you know, but you're going to have to learn how to move a couple of buttons and things. And it's going to affect behind you, all the people who are out of work, the people who will never work in that particular field again. My golly, this is the darkest and most distressing talk I've ever given. Change is the thing people are most afraid of facing, because it does what it does. And the people who are now out there in the world politically fighting it, fighting progress, which you can't, there's no way you can't stop it. Fighting progress are wasting their time. And they can't even create their own bubble to live in, because they too need the things that, right? How do the you look at the Amish people, they're having a hell of a time living simple, right? And many of them have turned into progressive Amish families, keeping the tradition of the toolist. No, I don't know, the analogity. I made up a word. Don't you love it? The analogity of their lives becoming more difficult, because they have to do everything to maintain it. There's no more help. Can't call people any. There's probably not even that many Amish people. How do they build a house anymore? Because they'd all get together and build a house. Okay? And so it's affecting everyone, no matter what you do. And you can't pass a law. See, this is what they try to do now. And even in authoritarian countries, they'll pass, they'll say, you can't do this and can't do that. And eventually, you know, that doesn't work. And here, where they pass a law and go, because we want to go back to when men were men and women were women, and there were no other people, no other identities, and pronouns were the same. It's like, you can own the past. You can't go into the past unless someone creates a time machine, and that won't happen. It won't happen. You heard me, and you heard it here first. Where? Here. On Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man is the name that joins the title of the show. That, my friends, is a TED Talk. Okay, now they want to come back in the room. Come on back in the room. Okay. Now they're all talking about it, and you're going to be talking about it tomorrow. You're going to be thinking about it. When you use a contraption, or you go to make your, you go to your microwave, right? Yeah, right. Okay, they're talking, and they keep talking about it. Oh, boy. I got a bunch of things. All right, quiet, kids. I have a bunch of things. I don't know if I've finished my... Is that a harangue? I wonder who won the Little League World Series game. Because here in where I am right now, live or not, because you're listening on Juiced Talk if you're listening and it's not Thursday, the 18th of August, 2022. You're not listening. You're listening. Then, you know, it's not now. We will already know by the time you hear that. What is the other thing I was going to say? Well, I'm going to talk about this other stuff, not here, maybe next week. I don't know who else we are going to get on our panel. We've got to get people to join us. Why, are you coming apart? Where's my other thing? I don't know. That was quite a tight hour. Content bubble. Did I say everything I needed to do? Yes, I think I did on this. I just have to make a note. I was going to go, and I don't know if I want to do that now. It'd be the next 50 minutes of a list. I love taking these lists and ripping them apart. We did it with the instrumental songs, right? And we find out, you see, this is what's confusing a lot of people too. And the language, as it's written in the journalism of the internet, is staining the English language. That's one of my pet peeves. I don't want to be in that group of confused people walking around and saying things pre-planned. I read that one the other day. How do you pre-plan something? And I bring this to the attention. I can't help it when I'm on Twitter and certain people who should know better, you know, you should know better. I know when you quote someone, as they do on many of these places, if the quote is actually by the person they quote, a quote and a quote that works the same word, you know, I quote someone, someone's quote. Someone is quoted as saying, and this is his quote. That's the other thing, too. You know, the tweet. Now people are going to say I tweeted. They're not going to say I tweeted. They're going to say I tweeted out. I tweet out. Oh, no, I can't stand it. And that's why when we talked, want to go over the ups? Let's just quickly go over the up list. We got 15 minutes till the 90 minutes talk. Where is it? I have it here somewhere. You know, I saw it before, and now it's on. Got it? All right, I'm looking. I can't find it. Can't find the... I swore I saw it here. What else do we have here, too? Everything's changing. Everything's going on. Time travel. That's my prediction, by the way. There will be no traveling in time. Because very simply, could I do a show on that? I think I did once. I'm losing track of a lot of these things. Oh, right. I was writing lyrics. You know, we could do that. That would be fun. I had two verses to the, when we did the instrumental, 10 best instrumentals. Not instrumental songs. Instrumentals. Was it 10 or 15 best instrumentals? They ruined that. It was somebody, of course. It was, you know, one person comes up with those lists. One, you know, everybody has a top 10. Remember the parody of the top 10 at David Letterman's routine? The top 10. And when they did it, one of the instrumentals that was not on the list is amazing to me. The instrumental Walk Don't Run by The Ventures wasn't on. And yet the Safaris had Wipeout. And okay, so we're not going to do that show again. If it's at the archives, juicetalk.com, if it's there, if it was updated and it was there, then you can listen to the instrumentals of old times. I said, this will be fun to make write words, lyrics to Walk Don't Run, which never had lyrics. And that's what I do sometimes, just for fun. I write lyrics to music that doesn't have lyrics, so it's not meant to have lyrics. And I've been talking about the Indiana Jones lyrics, which I wrote, and I I started to write years ago, before, well, yeah, it was years already, before the most recent, The Kingdom of the Skull, the glass skull, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the weird, of the what, see-through skull? Was that a see-through? I don't know, whatever that was. The Crystal Skull, right? And the World of the Crystal, okay. But the song, the music itself, the theme, Indiana Jones, should have lyrics. Just as the great ballads, that would be the Ballad of Indiana Jones. It's like you had the Ballad of Zorro, the Ballad of, and that was a great song. We've talked about it and played it here. I used to play that song live at my coffee house. Out of the night when the fool, okay, I don't have to sing it now. But I came up with the three verses for the Indiana Jones song. Now, I'm not going to do it and sing it or tell you the lyrics, but we are going to either record it simply and play it, or I will do it live. So if I do it live, yeah, I'm going to screw up because I haven't, I'm not going to study it. I'm not going to memorize it. But lyrics, I'm really happy with the lyrics in terms of, and I'd love to send them to John Williams, though he wouldn't care. As for Walk, Don't Run, that's still tough. If there's going to be another verse or two, I'm going to have to do it. If you're in a garage, see, I take the melody. Do you know if all you have, say, I'm like, you know, if you fail, you may be. See, that needs work. This Walk, Don't Run needs work. Indiana Jones needs to be recorded. And I don't know what we're going to do with the Midnight in Moscow. That's still around. I recorded that, and that could have been done better. Here, okay. Indiana! Okay, that was just it. Okay, put this away here. And then just say a few things and get out of here, because I think we've said all we need to say. You should, there are people I don't have to, I'm not obligated to do anything here. I feel I should. My books, the ones that are available, the ones you're trying to get available other ways are not there. There are plenty, there's way more books that are on the market by me, Frank Atolo. And I'm working to find a way, my agent and I in the world are working to find a way to make those more accessible. See, I may be a victim of my own talk today in that I like books. Books, of course, when we talk about, let's talk about things that have changed. The whole book publishing industry, just like the music industry. And when I tell you can buy books cheap, they're not books that you hold in your hand. They're, of course, they're virtual, not actual books. So they're not typed. They're processed, word processed, and you can read them on your phones. Okay. And they're cheaper that way, because now it's more expensive to print. The printing industry, look what happened to that on the Hallelujah Trail. See, the Hallelujah Trail. I don't have, I would play that now if I could, but I couldn't. And, you know, I sit here with my phone next to me. Look at this. All my links, there are so many links in the sex worker industry that there's a place they go to where they put all their links, all my links at once. You know the different links? Because the people are on different platforms. They're not just on OnlyFans. They're somewhere else. And I think it's great that people can make a living any way they can and want to. But I know, especially since being here from the beginning of the internet, knowing what the progress of the digital process, from the beginning of the internet to now, has already eaten its own. Yes, it's eaten its own. Things that came out that were, wow, that's amazing. We could do this stuff on the internet, right? And that's already changed. And processes and things that were done that were great at the time are already shot. And people who worked on those things are already shot. They had to adapt or move on. What was that, adapt or die? I don't know how you call it, what you call it. There were phrases about it. But it's going to, yeah, I think you should pay attention to it. Read about stuff. I always suggest, well, you know, it's tough. You don't want to get academic about it. You don't have to learn the function, the arithmetic, the mathematics. You don't have to learn HTML. You don't have to learn digital bytes. You don't have to learn about, you don't have to learn all that stuff. You have to have a general knowledge. It's okay. You don't have to learn how to do any of that stuff. But knowing a bit about it does, as opposed to just pushing a button, doesn't hurt. It will help you in the long run, because this ain't stopping. As I said, it's not going away. And now, I know now that it's all true by coming up with that phrase, and you know that it's eating its own. It's progressing. It's progressing so quickly that the measures that it produced and presented that were amazing at the time are now squared and squared times nine, or when you know, the changing and getting better. And what was amazing when the whole thing became available to the normal person, the regular person who was not into that stuff, because there was not that stuff existing, right? That stuff, all things that have already changed beyond the comprehension. And people growing up with all the new stuff, they're going to have this problem too, because it's going to get better and it's not going anywhere. And then they're going to have to adapt to as it gets newer. I can't imagine the rate of change is not just killing the analog world. It's killing many things inside of the digital world, the virtual world. Yeah, that's what I meant. It's eating its own, because the new processes, new gadgets, new things that are making it. So people who are going to be born, let's say, 5 years from now, just five years from now, people who are going to be born 5 years from now, by the time they're growing into the level of progress, of digital progress to that point. And they're going to grow up with it. So they're not going to have to learn that much, just the way my kids didn't have to learn as much. And no more now. They're going to be in trouble because all the stuff they've put together, they'll be brighter to adapt. They will adapt more quickly. But it's going to change. And they'll be left behind. And we don't know how far this goes. So while you're still here, enjoy it and use it to your benefit. Don't try to go back. There's no going back. Did you hear that, Sean? Can you hear what I'm talking about? Yeah, say it all you want. Huh? Be snide. Do that all you want, babes, because you are out of here. My name is Frank Tolman. His name is George, the title of the show. Okay. About 90 minutes. Yeah, well, I don't want to go into another list. We'll save that for next time. And I'll write about it where? CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. It'll tell you what we're doing, or it'll give you an idea of what we're going to try to do, or whatever happens, because we just move with the flow. And you can contact me. You know, if you go there, you go on the left-hand side, the column. Go back, look at the archives. There might be something you want to hear that we still have in the archive, and we could play a portion of it or what have you, do kind of classic Cotolo. That gives me a short break too, which is good. And so many people haven't heard so much that we did. What was that? Never have so many not heard so much that is no more. That one works. No, many have seen and we'll fight them through the beaches. Okay. So what am I saying? CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. You want to write to me? Tell me anything? Suggest something? You want to be on the panel sometime? fcotolo@yahoo.com. I still have theme shows in the wings. So what do we have? We have the gun show. And or as Ray Cotolo said, there will never be a gun show. He's predicting the future, and he better watch out, because that's dangerous. You're predicting it based on what you know in the past. You little... I love that kid. Love them both. And they are products of my... of my bloodline. You know that. Wait. Even next week, there may be so many different things next week. Right? Who knows? The books you can buy, the digital books, and go ahead, do it. Don't worry about, you don't have to worry anything. You're not worried. You know, now there's only a couple of people in digital book selling, digital books. What is that? In digital book business. There's only a handful of writers who are making all the money and selling all the copies anyway. But, you know, we don't care, because to me, one reader is one reader. I wrote it for one person, and all of you can be that person if you go to the ones I have at Amazon. Books at Amazon, they're cheap. The books and the shorter and... I was thinking analog again. Okay, where do you get them? Okay, get things I wrote in collections at Amazon. There's a platform now that's trying to take Amazon books. It's opening up like a bookstore, trying to get people from Amazon. Okay, well, more about that when it happens. So what did I say? Oh, Amazon, Lulu. It still exists. I don't know. I haven't checked there in a while, nor have I gotten a check from them in a while, but I haven't checked there. They're still around, so there must be more people there. I don't know what that's, of course, who knows? Pantheon and the other place? I don't know. I can't possibly keep up with all of them. I can't go to all of them and be involved in all of them. What's the third one? Blurb.com. Blurb.com. Blurb does some beautiful work in the literature, but, you know, in the beautiful pictures and books, digital photos and things. Beautiful work. Blurb.com. Just two things there. The Molotov memoir books are Molotov memoirs and more Molotov memoirs, and they're both designed and feature the illustrations of T. Stephen Gesick. A terrific, look them up. Or friend them, find them, here's what I get. Friend them, Graham him, Insta him, TikTok him, or whatever. T. Stephen Gesick, who still works in the art world, the commercial art world, as does his wife, my friend and co-author of a screenplay of my book, License to Skill, Peggy Robinson, whose real name is Peggy Gesick, because they're married, see? But professionally, we don't do things like that, do we? Some do, some don't. My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is the deal. We're going to be done now, okay? So, and then we'll move on, I'll move on. What I have to do in order to do that, though, is something, because I don't have an engineer. I let the fan go. It's got to be cooler, doesn't it? I think it does. Let's Let's get into the Frank. Let's close the Frank door right now.
My name is Frank.
Hey, Frank, here's another idea.
Oh, where'd you come from?
I've been walking next to you the entire time.
Finally, he went back, and I walked by the table, and I said, "How are you, Don? Nice to see you." He said, "Can't you see I'm eating, Frank? What are you doing?"
Frank, what the hell are you doing?
Hello. I'm Frank. Remember?
The results say that you, Frank, are absolutely not my father, but my father is a close relative, most likely one of your brothers.
Dad has brothers?
And, you know, I think I met the one that sells smoked sausage and razor blades out of the trunk of his car.
Gonna open and close. I'm gonna have more of those things too. They're on order. I got them on order, so we'll have more Frank closings and openings. You're gonna find yourself during one day. You're gonna be going dun 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 dun. My name is trying to put your name in it. My name is Alcohol. Alcohol. Nobody. My name is Mickey. Mickey. Go Yanks. Go Little Leaguers. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man's name adorns the title of the show. And that's the show. And we'll hopefully be back. JuiceTalk.com, you know where to buy the books. Good night, Mrs. Ernstfall, wherever you're located. And Catherine, I'm waiting to hear from you. In the meantime, you got it. I got it. I got nothing left to say. Thank you.